I heard that this time. Thank you, Lord. But Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you, Father. And we thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. We're still looking for revival, Lord. I want to be in your revival, Lord. I'm tired of reading about it. I'm tired of listening to other people that had heard other people that had heard other people talk about it. Lord, I want to see revival. And I thank you, Father. I praise you, Father. I thank you that you're going to send revival to your people, Lord. Let the glory fall down, Lord. Let the glory fall down, Father. We need this encouragement from you, Lord, to be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. And I just believe it. My faith is such that I'm going to endure to see it to the end, Lord, that the glory of the Lord God Almighty will fall and fill us all up and to overflowing, Father. We need that. We need this encouragement from you, Father, and I thank you for it, Lord. I ask for your blessing upon the fellowship tonight, that tonight's going to be a special night, Lord, that you're going to give us words of encouragement through your word, Lord, and I thank you for it, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, for your blessings upon us, and we hope and we pray that we bless you, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. Anybody got anything that got any prayer requests or would like to pray about something?
Hello, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to pray for Tracy. She called this afternoon and she had kind of a nasty fall on some concrete, and apparently there was a little gravel there too. So she kind of got herself bunged up and hurt her hands and her knees and her wrist. And, so I just would like to pray for her. Father, I just thank you that you have already provided for her healing. And we just speak healing to her hands and her knees and her wrist. We command them to be healed, that they won't give her any problem while she's at work tonight. She won't have any difficulty doing any of the tasks that are before her. And Father, I just pray that you would restore her energy, both physically and spiritually, for tonight and for the weekend to come as she goes down there to take care of her parents. And I also thank you, Father, that you have given her authority over the spirits that would come in to upset things for her. Just pray, Father, that you would bring that to her remembrance, that she has authority over them, that she would use that authority that you have given her. And I just thank you, Father, for what you're going to work this weekend in her and in her parents. And I just thank you for a blessed time for her and also for some rest for her. And I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with gain on. We believe that's going to happen in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Anyone else? I'd like to pray for Matt and Nana. They're on the way down here. So let's pray for them and y'all believe with me. Lord, I thank you that you're making good time with them, or they're making good time with you. And I thank you for it, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you just chop off the hours until they're here, Lord, that you would get them here in fast time. And not only that, that they would have time to settle and rest before nighttime, and that you'd get them here quickly, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Protect them. Put your hedge of protection around them, Lord. I ask that in Jesus' name, that they don't get a dent on their car, that nothing happens to their vehicles. And Lord, we just praise you and glorify you in all that you're doing in Matt and Anna. Thank you, Lord, that you're keeping her from car sickness on the way out here too, or over here too, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Anyone else? Well, I have a kind of a praise report. My wife, he called me here last week, I believe it was, and she was complaining about a bill that she had gotten from her doctor, and I don't know, it's a big long story. Anyway, she didn't feel like that she owed it. I said, well, let's just pray about it. That's just where she is, so we have to kind of have a lot of grace, don't we? So I prayed with her, and I said, Lord, we just thank you for taking care of this bill for Jeanette. And he did. She called me today and said that they were the ones that made the mistake, and so they weren't going to charge her for that particular bill. And it was about $1,600. And they told her she didn't know it anymore. And so I just praise you, Father, for even though, you know, Lord, where she is with her faith, you even honor our prayers where she's at. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to bring her out here pretty quick. And she's going to be a part of the fellowship, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, Michael, I have a praise report. I was helping my sister while I changed the oil in her car for her because she's been having trouble with her car. She spent over $800 on it, and they can't find out what's the matter with it. I started looking at it, and I think she just hasn't been changing the oil like she should, and it's been got kind of gummed up. So I brought it home here and done some things to it, and got it all ready to go back, and then the oil light didn't come on anymore, but the check engine soon light came on, and I drove that thing around, and it wouldn't go off, and I drove it all the way down to town, which is about 15, 20 miles from here, and it still wouldn't go off, and I hated to take it back the way it was, and so I was going down the street, and I just commanded that light to go off in Jesus' name, and I think I went about 2 blocks, and it went off, so I just praise the Lord for answering my prayer.
Amen. Yep, I've done the same thing. God's so good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that Marlon's sister's not going to have any more trouble with that car. Lord, just put it in her heart to change oil when it's supposed to be changed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. That's good. On my truck, I've got this lamp out warning that comes on there, and it must be in my brake lights. And I one time when I was coming home back to Tennessee from Arkansas, that light kept ringing, and it's got an audible alarm on it. And I just said, I got so sick of listening to that thing. I said, in the name of Jesus, you quit and don't you come back on. Well, it didn't come back on all the way home, all the way back to Tennessee. But it's coming on now every now and then. I'm going to have to pray against it again. Praise God. Yeah, he's a whole lot better mechanic than the mechanics are out there. And he can, he's pretty reasonable on his rates. Free is good. Amen. All right, anybody else? Hey, Albert. How you doing, brother?
How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. I hope y'all are doing okay.
Yeah, we went through Lisa's dad passed away, and we had to travel up home. So, Lisa's doing a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah. Well, we prayed for you. We've been praying for you. Hope she's okay.
She's doing good. She can hear you. She's actually in the room. So.
Oh, hi, Lisa. Okay. Praise God.
While I'm talking to you, I got a little testimony I wanted to share. It's I found it really interesting.
Go right ahead, brother.
Okay. So my father-in-law, we went up to visit in May, and my father-in-law happened to go in the hospital right before we got there, and he was being attacked by a demon. It gave him his name. I think he called it Buzz Bomb or something. It doesn't really matter what the name was, but there was actually two demons that were tormenting me. And so Lisa and I got to, really minister to him. He was a devout Catholic all his life, and he really struggled with us leaving the Catholic Church and things. And so a lot of years he really didn't really want to listen to us, but he was really in a position to let us minister to him a little bit about what was going on and minister to him about forgiveness and talk to him, you know, about if he was holding any unforgiveness for anyone and that he needed to forgive. And we shared the scriptures with him. And it was really good. We were able to bind and loose over him. And he got some freedom for a time while we were there. He wasn't being attacked. And when we came back to Texas, it started over again. And it went on for a long time. But a week before he passed away, you know, we were in prayer with the Lord and in faith that the Lord wouldn't let him pass from this earth until he was able to forgive and that he was ready to enter into the kingdom. And so, you know, we were believing on that. And a week before he passed away, these demons left him. And as soon as they left him, he went downhill really quick and went quickly and peacefully. But we're just believing that, you know, sometimes when we're in unforgiveness and we refuse to forgive, and, you know, God gave him a chance to repent, you know, and I believe that he did repent and the Lord forgave him and set him free and brought him home. You know, that's what we're believing. So it's kind of interesting because my sister-in-law was there and he said, he told her, you know, this thing is gone. You know, he didn't know where it went. And he said, it just left, you know. And so he really recognized that the spirit had left him. So I just thought I'd share that with you. If you have any thoughts about it, you'd surely like to hear them.
Amen. Well, yeah, absolutely. If they left him, that was a burden that was on him or some bondage that was in him. And he got some freedom there, and he could probably see, you know, see the scriptures a little more clearly. I believe he's saved, you know. I believe he's okay. I know.
Amen.
I don't know if you heard my testimony about my brother-in-law. I was a new Christian, and he went into a diabetic coma. And this was on a Saturday that he went into a diabetic coma, and on Thursday, the Thursday before, I had called him and asked him, you know, maybe you need. Would you let me come up here and pray for you, you know? And he said, no. He said, I don't need that. So I said, okay. And don't want you up here, you know? And I said, okay, no big deal. And then the Lord woke me up Sunday morning, and he said, I want you to go to Batesville, and I want you to go pray for Richard. And I told him, I said, Lord, he's in a coma. And I said, he rejected me the last time. He said, he won't this time. I said, but he's in a coma. He said, his spirit can hear you. I said, okay, praise God. So I did what he told me. This was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I got up, went out, called my sister. I said, I'm coming up there. I said, the Lord told me to come up here and pray for your husband, Richard. That's my sister's husband. And I said, I want you to get all the nurses and stuff and have them out of there when I get there so that I can go in there and pray for him. She said, okay. So when I got up to the hospital, it's kind of interesting. The Lord told me, at first he told me to have them all cleared out and just you and Richard be in there. But when I was walking in there to the room, he told me to bring my sister along too. And I said, okay. So I told Al Ned, I said, come on, you're going with me. And so we went in there, and I ministered to him and told him he needed to forgive. You know, I'm sitting here talking to a corpse, it looks like, you know, somebody that's breathing on tubes and all that kind of stuff. But the Lord was quickening my spirit and telling me that, you know, I'm going to save him because of your prayers. And I said, okay. So I, you know, had him. I said, you can hear me in the spirit. And I know you can't because the Lord told me you could. I said, you need to forgive. And I said, you need to repent. And you need to cry out to the Lord. And I just believe he did it. And I asked my sister, I said, are you ready to give your life to the Lord? And she said, yes. I said, and I was able to lead her to the Lord as well. And I just believe because of our obedience that Richard was saved, and of course my sister saved as well. So yeah, God can do anything. You know, I believe His grace far exceeds anything that we can imagine. Albert and I, you know, He wants people to be saved, and if we pray for somebody, He's going to do it if we believe. So yeah, I believe it.
Wow, that's an awesome testament. I have another little piece of it I wanted to share. kind of interesting. When we got home, you know, obviously my wife was, you know, struggling and normal and I never put on the TV, and I had the Discovery Channel on or something, and I never put it on. And there was a show about Hitler, and I was watching it, and it was about Hitler, that a bunch of Americans got captured during World War II, and he treated these Americans very similar to how he treated the Jewish people. You know, he worked them to death and starved them to death, you know. And my father-in-law was in World War II. He actually, you know, stormed the beaches of Normandy, you know, and some things. And so we knew he was in World War II. So here I'm sitting there watching the show. My wife's not paying attention to it. And all of a sudden, you know, the POWs got escaped or something. The United States went in and the Germans fled and the POWs got saved. And here's a picture of my father-in-law on the TV during World War II helping one of the POWs. And I just thought that was really cool. It was like, what
that is awesome.
That is awesome. So I said, Lisa, you dead? I can't believe this. So I rewound it, right, and I showed her, and, you know, he was young, man, you know, so, but she had pictures. She had pictures of her dad when he was in World War II, and so she, you know, she took a picture of the TV screen, and she went and pulled the pictures, and here he's wearing this ring, very identifiable ring, unique-looking ring, and a bracelet, and she pulled out a picture of her dad, and here he's wearing that exact ring and that bracelet. So we know it was him. It was just amazing that God just gave her peace and showed her that her dad was helping these men. And I thought it was really neat.
That is awesome. I've never heard of a story like that before. That's good. That's awesome. God is so good, isn't he? He is so awesome. Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Judy?
Yeah, I'd like to praise the Lord that Charlie and Linda are moved into that mobile, and they've got their beds in there and stuff, and they are going to go back to the house tonight just to shower and make sure they unplug everything and get final things. But then tomorrow night, they're going to sleep in there. So I thank the Lord for getting them moved and getting them right here in this circle. This is going to be awesome for them. We'll really be able to fellowship with them.
Awesome. Yes, they need it. I'm telling you, they really need it. And they're going to be really blessed by y'all. I guarantee you. And y'all going to be blessed by them too.
Yep. We're all going to be blessed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Awesome.
So I just thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know, most of you have heard Charlie and Linda's testimony. They've got some wonderful things that God has done for them over the years. Just strange stuff, but it's all God. And it's really interesting to listen to them talk about it. Amen. All right, anybody else? What about praise and testimonies, praise reports and testimonies, anything you'd like to share? I hope everybody got the email that I sent out. I know most of you did. I know Tim didn't. I forgot to put him on there. But we changed the question for tonight to, Lord, what is it? How do you want us to prepare for this weekend? And how are we to prepare for this weekend? And so that's the question we had tonight. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord's got to say. But anyway, anybody got a prayer request or praise report or testimony?
Michael?
Yeah, Judy?
Judy again. I've been praying. My daughter had been looking for a car, and I told her, oh, try to get it. Don't get it any later than this week. And she's been looking and looking and kind of dragging her feet. And I said, hey, you can find one. I've been praying the Lord that she finds one, and she did. She got one this week. So I thank the Lord that she got this car and it's got gassed up and ready to go. So thank you, Lord, for getting Amy her car.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I wanted to ask if anybody heard the broadcast last night. And I talked about at the very end of it, on my little portion of it, about this revival at Asbury College in Kentucky, which is Asbury's a little bit south of Lexington, about 10 miles or so, a little town called Wilford, Kentucky. But they had a revival back in 1970, and it was an awesome revival. What started it, and I talked a little bit about it the other night, what started it was six students that got together and decided to pray 30 minutes a day for revival. And, well, just pray. That's all they wanted to do is pray. And I forget the, let me see if I can find that thing. What made it interesting is that the students are the ones that wanted to do the praying. And they did that for a month. And then they'd come together once a week and hold each other accountable for what they had covenanted together to do. And what had transpired is they prayed for 2 months, and after the first month, each one of them grabbed five other students to help pray, and they ended up with 36 students that were praying 30 minutes a day. And revival broke out of all things. And what happened on this, they started in December, and on February the 2nd or 3rd or something like that, they had chapel two or three times a week in the auditorium. And one of the teachers or professors got up and gave his testimony, and he asked the students to come up and give their testimony or their Christian testimony, you know. And they did. And the first student that got up gave their testimony, and oh my, and then the glory of the Lord fell down in that place, came down in that place, and the kids just started running to the altar. They got out in the aisles, down on their knees, asking God's mercy and forgiveness. And it was just an awesome, awesome time. And I remember the dean of the college called the president. The president had just flown up to Alberta, Canada for some kind of a meeting up there. And he called him the next day, and he told him, he said, and he wasn't supposed to call him unless it was an emergency. And he called him real early in the morning, and he said, you don't believe what's happening. He said, well, what? Try me. He said, chapel's still going on. Now, you got to remember, it's early in the morning, real early in the morning, before school. And he said, what do you mean, chapel's still going on? It's only whatever time it was. He said, chapel is still going on from 11 o'clock yesterday. He said it continued on from 11 o'clock yesterday to 11 o'clock last night to now. It is still going on. And he said, oh, my. And so, praise God, you know. And it lasted for 184 hours. Ever what that's about I don't know how long it was, but a couple of weeks maybe. But The interesting thing about the whole revival was this, is that when the kids had to go home, they took the revival with them. The Lord went with them. There was a couple of kids that went to a Nazarene college back in the Midwest somewhere. I forget where it was. And they took that revival glory back with them to that place. And it was a Nazarene college, actually. And they went in to the dean and they said, and the dean secretary came in and said, there's a couple of kids out here want to talk to you about chapel, you know. And he said, okay. So they came in there and the kids told him what had happened. He said, I just want to tell you what happened at Asbury College, and related what had happened. So it didn't take very long. And this dean is thinking all the time, you know, well, these kids are wanting to say something. I said, I don't know these kids from anybody, you know. I don't know what they're liable to do, you know, him knowing kids like they are, you know. And he said, well, what do you think I ought to do? Then they told him real quick, said, well, that's not up to us. We did what we were supposed to do. Lord told us to come here and tell you that revival has broke out in Asbury College, and that's all we're supposed to do. It's up to you now to do whatever it is that you think the Lord wants you to do. And he said, well, he thought about it a minute, and he said, could y'all give us 5 minutes in chapel? He said, and they agreed to, and they went in there, and all they had to do was go in there and tell it just for a few minutes. Revival broke out in that little college. And it was like that all over the United States. Even the Dallas Theological Seminary, some kids took it back there. And the revival broke out there. It broke out in a little Church of God up in the northern Midwest. And they couldn't hold all the people in there, so they had to move it to the high school gymnasium. And there was over 2,500 people in that particular one. And it was just like that all over the United States. Everywhere these kids went home, they'd take that revival with them. One of them was a daughter of a couple of Salvation Army officers out of New York. Now, they didn't have a whole lot of money. And they told that daughter of theirs, you know, said, don't be calling us unless it's an emergency. And she called them and she told them, she said, and her dad answered the phone. He said, yeah, hon, what's the matter? She said, I found God. He said, what? She said, I found God, Dad. And he said, well, that's kind of crazy. He said, you've known God all your life. He said, you've helped me out here in the missions. You've helped us do this. You've helped us do that. And she said, Dad, I did that because I loved you, not because I loved Jesus. She said, I have found God now. And that was awesome. And she took it back and they had revival in the Salvation Army. Now that's a feat there. But anyway, it happened all over, and it's a great testimony. Y'all just go on YouTube and just type it in, Asbury College Revival in 1970. And there's two or three, probably 20-minute, 30-minute documentaries on it. I think the president of the college gives his testimony about it in one of them. And the other one that was really good was when the students testified themselves about the revival. It was really awesome. And I was talking to Greg tonight, and he said there's another one on there too that kind of encapsulates what happened each day. I haven't seen that one yet, but you know, just like I was praying earlier, I love to hear about those revivals, but I want to experience it. I want to experience the glory of God. I want to experience that one-on-one relationship with God. I want to experience God myself. I'm tired of reading about it. I want to experience it. I want God to fill me to the uttermost. I remember when I was filled with the Holy Spirit the first time. I was out in my shop and I was out there praising God. That's what I was doing. I was praising God. And all of a sudden, the glory of God just fell on me. And I had a full-blown language from the very get-go. And I sat out there in the, walked around out there in that shop praising God for 3 or 4 hours that day. And I remember what that felt like. That was an awesome time with the Lord. The Lord had just wiped me clean of all that guilt and filth that I had in me. And I was like walking on clouds when that happened to me, when I was filled with the Spirit. And I just walked around that shop, my metal building shop that I had out there, just walking around it for 3 or 4 hours, speaking in tongues and glorifying God. And that was the best time I've ever had with the Lord. Now, there's been a few instances since then, but don't y'all want to just walk in that 365, 24? I do. I want to walk in it all the time. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share about that? That revival that God's going to bring upon us? What did I do? Run everybody out? I hope not. Can anybody hear me?
I hear you. I'm okay. Ready for that revival.
Yes, me
like
too.
I like personal revival.
Amen. Yes. Yeah, it's
I
coming.
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Well, I couldn't get any response earlier. I thought maybe I'd zoned out there or something. All right. Praise God. Yes. Me too. And I was listening to a YouTube compilation, they call it, from Sermon Index. And it was from Paul Washer, Leonard Ravenhill, or David Wilkerson, Con Conlin, or something like that. And a few of these preachers that love the Lord, and they were talking about the fear of God. And boy, that got me pumped up too. You know, there's a lot of stuff on there that can get you pumped up about the Lord. But you know what gets us pumped up about the Lord more than anything? Is getting in that I call it a zone, but it's not a zone. It's getting in that place where you can hear God and you can have that personal relationship with God. And we ought to be doing that every morning before we start our day. I know things come up and all of that, but that's almost imperative. I remember somebody when I was reading about was talking about Martin Luther, and he told him, I've got a busy day. In fact, my day is so busy, I'm going to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. And that's the attitude that, you know, we should have as well, is be in prayer all the time. You know, even when you're doing your stuff, you know, around doing what you normally do every day is, but you ought to be in prayer, even in your spirit, you know. So, anyways, anybody got any thoughts on that? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I got for a word from the Lord today. I got for that question, and the question was, let me look here, how are we to prepare for this weekend? And, of course, with in mind the 24th. And the first word that I got was Ezekiel 28, and I'm going to start out 1, and I'll probably go to 10, verse 1 through 10, Ezekiel 28, 1 through 10, and it says, I'm going to give you time to get there. It's a pretty good word. It kind of talks, spiritually speaking, about what we've been talking about. He says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art man and not God, though thou didst set thy heart as the heart of God. Does that put you in mind of anybody that's running our country? Just asking. And then verse 3 says, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that is hidden from thee. By thy wisdom and by thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. And by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. And therefore, thus said the Lord God, because thou hast set thy heart as the heart of God, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the heart of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou art man, and not God, in the hand of him that woundeth thee. Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Well, I kind of see a type and a shadow here. The Prince of Tyre, of course, you know, Tyre is kind of representative of the United States. And we've got some arrogant people running the business up there. Here's what I saw. Thou shalt bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the heart of the seas. We had a dream about the White House and Congress being dropped down into a split in the ground from an earthquake, and all of the corrupt and evil men that's been running this country fell down into it. And that kind of brought me back to remembrance of that particular dream. And you know, it's just God saying, look, you're not in charge. I'm in charge. That's who's in charge. And so with that, I decided to get another word as well. And my finger fell down on Jeremiah chapter 24. And there's only 10 verses in it. So I thought, well, okay, I'll just read the whole 10 of them. Jeremiah 24. And the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs. The good figs, very good. And the bad, very bad. That cannot be eaten, they're so bad. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I regard the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return unto me. You see that? They shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad. Surely, thus saith the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem, that remain in this land and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. I will even give them up to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth for evil, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. So what I see in this one, now I remember the question that we asked, but the Lord is kind of laying some groundwork here. What he's saying is this. He said, those that rejected me before and they had some problems and stuff, and I believe that's a twofold thing. One is for us here, and one is for the church worldwide. And I think as far as us, it's the factious people that the Lord's going to turn their heart back to him, and they're going to come back. And as far as the worldwide church, I believe it's these people coming out of these apostate religions that are going to return back to their first love and come back in. And that's going to be the revival that they're going to do. And there's going to be a lot of them that don't, that have their hearts are hardened. The Lord has hardened their hearts because they knew too much. And then he's not going to allow them to come back in. But anyway, that's kind of what I get out of that. And if anybody else has got anything else, let's hear it. Or if I got a word, whichever.
Hello, Michael?
Yeah, Gano.
Well, I'll share the word that I got.
Okay,
actually, I asked for one last night after I got the email because I was thinking it was the other question, and then I found out that it was changed. And the verse that I got was Acts 4, verse 12, and it says, "And in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved." And I just thought that just really fit, because we are to look to the Lord because he is the one that supplies all our needs. And, you know, you think of salvation, it's all my needs supplied. And after that, I asked for another verse, and I got John 20, verse 11. And this is where Mary was standing outside of the tomb. And I'll read verse 11, but I want to go on to some other verses, and actually I believe that this, I had gotten a different verse in this same chapter that was on the next page, maybe last week, I believe. But verse 11 says, "But Mary was standing without at the tomb weeping. So as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb." And, you know, and I won't read all of the verses, but she thought someone had taken her Lord, and she didn't know where to find him. And in verse 14, it says, "When she had thus said, she turned herself back and beholdeth Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? Thinking him to be the gardener, she asked where Jesus had been taken. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself and saith unto him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which is to say teacher." And what I got from this again was, she knew his voice, just as I should know his voice and listen for what he wants to tell me. And I don't know, I just thought these verses were just really fitting, because when, you know, when things are coming up and we're not sure, we don't really know, but our main thing is to look to the Lord and to know that he's the supplier of all of our needs, and to hear his voice. And it reminded me of his promises in Jeremiah 29, and I would like to read verses 11 through 14. "For I know the thought that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end. And ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." And you know, the key thing is, if we diligently seek him, he says we will find him. And I just have really enjoyed these assignments you've given us, and then to see the verses that he gives to each one individually, it's just, it is really a blessing. And just wanted to thank you for that, because it is truly a blessing. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, we do that every morning here, and it's amazing how God puts it all together for us. And it all tells us, you know, a complete, kind of gives us a little bit better picture of what he wants.
Right, because everyone gets just a little bit different piece of the picture.
Yeah, that's true. Amen.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I'll share the ones I got. First one was in Jeremiah 3, let's see. Yeah, no, Jeremiah 2, verses 29 and 30. No, 28 and 29. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them rise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will ye contend with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. God is talking to Israel here, and I guess he's talking to us now. And what I got out of that is to not look towards the worldly things, but to look to him for all our needs and whatever comes, wherever we're at. And then the next one was Luke 1, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, because thy supplication I heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And I guess out of that I got, you know, what the Lord tells us he does. He tells us in his word that he's going to protect us and provide for us and take care of us. And that's what I got out of those. We should look to him and not to the things of the world.
Amen. Boy, that's becoming more clear every day to me, that we're not to even mess with the world for anything other than bare necessities, you know. Even when, yeah, if y'all heard the broadcast talking the other night, talking about storing up, you know. Store up for a few days, but you don't have to store up for months and months and months like some people do. The Lord says, you know, worms going to eat it up, rust's going to get it. I believe the Lord's going to take care of us in the long run. He's going to do it, you know, because he's going to instill in each one of us. He's going to infuse us with the power of God, those that are in the bride, and I believe every one of us is going to be in the bride. I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I'm believing, and I hope you're believing for the same thing. And by the way, we've had a couple of dreams that today was the cutoff day for being in the bride, and that's kind of why we, in the last few weeks, we've been stressing repentance and holy walking and talking to the Lord and getting your life cleaned up, because this bride thing is, if it's not shut today, and, you know, I don't know how God's going to do it, but everybody needs to have faith to believe that they're in the bride. That's how you're in the bride, is just to have the faith to believe it. You believe God's going to, he's getting you in that perfection state. He's putting you in that holiness state. And that's how you get into it, is by faith and acting on that faith. Yep, I'm in the bride, praise God, because I'm doing everything God told me to do to the best of my ability. And anyway, I don't forgot what I was going to, where I was going with it. But anyway, the bride door has been shut today, or will be shut today. Not sure how that works, but God does, according to the dreams. Now, the Lord, you know, in his grace and his mercy, he can do other things. But if his thing comes open on Saturday, as David told you, you know, we don't really know dates and things like that. And he's not given dates, but this might be something other than tribulation started. This could be before tribulation starts, which it will be. And he tells us that there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places and wars in diverse places and all of that before the tribulation starts. And then the man-child is anointed before the tribulation starts and takes the bride into the wilderness, leads the bride into the wilderness. So we don't know, you know, but we suspect with all the words that we're getting that there may be something happening Saturday, you know, the 24th. So we'll just have to wait and see. But we all need to be prepared. We don't want to be like the five foolish virgins who didn't have their oil for their lamps, because you remember what happened to them. They beat on the door and they said, "Lord, let us in." He said, "Depart from me, because I never knew you," because they weren't ready. We sure don't want to be caught in that position of not being ready. You know how you're ready? Is if you're doing everything that you know to do for the Lord, that he's, that you know, and that's why you're held, you're held righteous because of it. You're doing everything you know to do in Christ. You're running after him with all your heart, and you know that you know that you know that you love the Lord and that the Lord loves you. And you're serving the brethren out there. We talked about this last night on broadcast, that we must have the love for the brethren. That's how God counts fruit, you know. We have to walk in the steps of Jesus, what he'd do. Everywhere he saw a need, that's where he applied himself. And that's the way we ought to be. If we see a need in our brothers and sisters, and we don't help if we can help, then that's not the love of the brethren. Anyway, y'all can listen to that on the broadcast. But anyway, getting back to the word here, has anybody else got a word for tonight's question?
Michael?
Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Okay, I got Ezekiel 33. My finger was on 5, but I'm going to read 4-9. And it's Ezekiel 33, 4-9. And I actually said it this morning too, because when I got your message, I just made that my morning thing to ask for. I just used it for the morning time too. But Ezekiel 33:4 is, "Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. Whereas if he had taken warning, he would have delivered his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, and the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, and thou shalt not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he turn not from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul." So I think we're supposed to, the person that's doing the warning has to do the warning, or he's going to be in trouble. But we're supposed to heed it, and we're supposed to turn from our wicked ways and follow the Lord. So that's what I got.
Amen. Amen. That's a dandy, too. That's right on target. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
I got Daniel chapter 12, and the title of the chapter is The Time of the End. And so I read the entire chapter, and it's really good. I think verses 1 through 3 I'd like to read. I'll start with just part of, like, the last part of chapter, or verse 1. It says, "And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." And it says, "Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever."
I'll take it. Amen. That's a good one.
And I also got lots of verses about just loving the Lord with your whole heart. And then this afternoon, I got an impression of water. And I said, "Lord, if you want me to store up some water, please, let that be the verse that I come to." And I just opened up the Bible and my eye went right to the verse that said, "Fill up the water jars." So I said, "Okay, Lord." And I just found, some containers that I had, and I just filled them up.
I mean, can't be any more blunt than that, can you?
I know.
God. Yes, Lord. Okay. All right. Anybody else? That's a good word, Terry.
Yeah, Michael. I got...
Go ahead.
I got Ezekiel 37:23. "Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with the detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God."
Amen. They got rid of their idols. They got rid of all of that stuff that was defiling them. And he said he's going to save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned. He's going to cleanse them. They're going to be his people. And he's going to be the God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's fitting. Lord, we just praise you that you are getting us ready, Father, that for this great happening. We thank you, Lord, for filtering out all of this mess we've had to live with over these many years. Lord, because you've taught us this faith that we needed to get rid of it. And not only that, you've taught us that we are to confess it with our mouth. And that's how we call those things that are not as though they were. That's how we walk this Christian walk that you've got us on, Lord. When we see something in the Word of God, Lord, we're to repent if we've been going against it, and then believe you that you're going to cleanse it out of us. And Father, that's just such an easy, simple thing. And we thank you, Father, for the grace that you've given us all to do this and to walk into this perfection that you want us to walk in, this holiness that you want us to walk in, Lord. And we just praise you for it. We thank you, Father, for the coming glory, the Shekinah glory that you're going to just drop down on your people here all at once. And I believe it, Lord. I believe that if you drop it here in the local, it's going to be dropped in the outreach too. And I praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Stan.
Michael?
Yeah.
I got Psalm 78, verses 40 to 42. "How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy." This was the New King James Version. Not all of the versions say "and limited the Holy One of Israel," but I liked it. I liked the way this one says it. So. because we do limit him when we don't believe his word. You know, he says it, and then if we don't act on it or don't believe it, we limit his hand to cause it to come about.
Amen. So true. Okay, that was Psalm 78, 40 through what?
40 through 42. That was the New King James Version.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one. Another good one.
Hey, Michael. I got one also.
Okay, Albert.
Joshua chapter 10, verses 22 through 27. Maybe you can help me with the revelation after I read this. I mean, I believe I know what it's saying, but maybe you can help me with it. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring forth those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those kings unto him out of the cave. And the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass when they brought forth those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the chiefs of the men of war that went with him, come near and put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall Jehovah do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and put them to death and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanged upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them in the cave. Within they had hidden themselves and laid great stones on the mouth of the cave unto this very day. So I know there's a lot of types and, you know, Joshua being a type of Jesus, and the kings are a type of our five senses, if I remember correctly. Thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, give me that reference again. Joshua what?
10.
Okay.
Verses 22 to 27.
Okay, I got it. Yep, that is a good one. 10:22. Okay. Well, if you've done any research on this particular, these particular verses and these kings, you know that each one of these kings' names means has a spiritual meaning of one of our five senses. And it's really interesting how the Lord does that. What do you reckon he put the feet on their necks for? He did that so they wouldn't talk. They wouldn't cry out. They wouldn't say anything. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to shut up our five senses, our flesh, so to speak, and not allow them to say anything, because the spiritual man is the one that's in charge, right? The flesh, the only thing it is a mule for our spiritual man. It's supposed to just take us here and yon and there. It's David has a real good teaching on that, on this particular one. I forget which one it's in, but y'all will probably all run across that. Anyway, that's a good one, man. I said, well, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to kill the flesh. We're supposed to all be walking in that, killing the flesh. And if we're killing the flesh, we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. You know how you kill the flesh? Just deny it. Deny its right to do anything. Run after the Lord with all your heart. You do that, and that flesh will get out of the way. It has to. Okay. That's good. That's a good one there. He's telling us. He's showing us, y'all. He's showing us how to, what he wants us to do. To prepare for this weekend. He wants us to kill the flesh. He wants us to do all these things back up above that he's asked us to do. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Anybody else get a word for tonight?
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Barbara.
I did get 2 Peter 2:8. I read verses 7-9. Do you want me to read
that? Run that by again. Say it again.
2 Peter. I'm sorry about all the noise. 2 Peter 2:8, verses 7-9, actually. Do you want me to read it?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that'd be fine. Go ahead.
And delivered righteous Lot, sore distressed by the lasciviousness life of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with these lawless deeds. The Lord, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment.
Okay, what do you think he's telling you here?
Well, I don't know how that ties in with the question, but what I think it's saying is that the Lord knows how to keep the godly, you know, out of temptation. Like, he'll deliver us. Like, if we're tempted to sin or tempted to react in our flesh or whatever, he'll deliver us. Because, you know, we're, you know, like, sometimes, you know, we're vexed. We're bothered by what the, I don't know, I don't want to say bothered, but I don't know. I'm not sure, because sometimes, you know, I think, you know, we're not supposed to be bothered by anything. We're supposed to be dead, so dead to our flesh. But I have to say, sometimes, you know, I'm bothered by, you know, all this wickedness and darkness around me, you know, so close to quarters. And you know, we're tempted sometimes to react in the flesh. And I think, you know, and I can speak too from experience, the Lord delivers us. He delivers us from that temptation to, I mean, that's what I get. I don't know how that ties in with the question, how to, well, maybe I do, yeah.
Yeah, no, that ties in real well. Barbara, he's talking about the righteous man that dwells amongst all the evil and the lascivious style, lifestyle of the wicked all around us. And what did he say? How did he say that he was going to deliver him out of it? He said, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. In other words, he gonna keep them beat down and away from you, hopefully, you know. And but your faith is what brings all this about. And that's what he's talking about. But and in verse 10, listen to this, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh, okay, in the lust of defilement and despise dominion, daring, self will, they tremble not to rail at dignities. So that's what he's talking about here. If we're in the middle of, like Lot was, in the middle of all of this degradation, the Lord's going to keep us. He's going to do just like he did with Lot. He's going to lead you out of it. He's going to keep you over. He's going to let you be an overcomer, right? As long as you got your eyes focused on him. That's what he wants. He wants your eyes focused on him. You get your eyes focused on him, he'll lead you out of all of that stuff. Praise God.
Amen. Sometimes I have my feelings. Go ahead. You know.
What's that?
Sometimes, you know, when it gets to you, you know, bothers you, and, you know, well, you don't react in your feelings, but I mean, look, the Lord's still trying to work out this emotional stuff in me. you know, just sometimes I'm quite emotionally, and the Lord, you know, I'm not saying I react in it, but I mean, inside, my feelings sometimes get the better of me inside, and it's like, I really have to go, Lord, you know, please help me in this, you know. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about, like, it's just your
feelings. Yeah, I do. Okay. I do exactly know what you're talking about. It's,
I want to confess.
See, that... Yeah, well, it's the Lord getting rid of the flesh in you and me and everybody else. When he brings these circumstances around us, how are we going to act? How am I going to act if, say, I get a call from back home, you know, that this happened or that happened? What am I going to do? Am I going to get wild and say, well, you should have done this. You should have went in there and smacked him across. You know, no. Here's what I've learned to do. I've learned to tell them, I said, well, let's just pray. And they don't want to hear that. And after a while, you know, well, don't call daddy because all he won't do is pray. Well, the prayer is the only thing that'll fix the situation.
I think
and I've seen it. I've seen it happen. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just, what you were saying, it's hard, you know, to, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And it's like, it's disheartening because you have their best interest at heart and you just want to share with them and you want to warn them or help them or, and they don't want to receive it, you know. I mean, they just don't want to receive it.
Yeah, well, what they want out of you is you to react to what they're telling you, and you're learning by God's grace that you don't react to situations anymore. That you pray about them, and we pray about them. We're like the dead man, right? You've heard the analogy of slapping the dead man on the cheek. What does he do? He turns the other one to you. And that's where we are. And when they call you or when these circumstances come up, well, what do you think we ought to do? Well, I think we ought to pray, praise God. And after a while, one of two things is going to happen. They're going to call you for prayer or they're going to quit calling you.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
I do have numbers sometimes with mom, please pray. You know, they'll tell me, you know, to pray. But then I have other ones that say, I don't believe what you believe. I don't want to hear it. And, you know. They're actually downright rude.
And, well, that's okay. You say, well, okay, you know, but I'm going to tell you every time that you call me about these type of situations, I'm going to pray because I know God works in that area when I pray. So, you know, just put it that way and you'll get less and less calls, see?
I guess, yeah, it's just I want to help them. You know, I hear God telling me sometimes, you know, you need to be quiet, let me handle it. You know, and so much, I want to see them come into the kingdom. I guess I'm just trying to pray for me on this. I think I'm just trying to...
You're trying to help God out?
Yeah, I'm trying to do things my way, and sort of.
Yeah.
Not really. I don't know if I want to quite say it like that, but I mean, like, it's like, well, Lord, you know... I'd like to see it done quicker. You know, I'm being impatient, I guess.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
For me.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about because I've gone through the same thing. And, you know, all my adult life with my children and my brothers and sisters, you know, we've always helped one another when things come about. But, you know, it's not really help. If you step back and think about it, all we're doing most of the time when our children gets in trouble is enabling them or our spouse gets in trouble. You know, whoever it is, most of the time we're just enabling them. And so I've learned over the years, you know, that I'm known to want to pray. I'm getting to be known as just don't call daddy because all he wants to do is pray. Well, what they don't realize is that prayer is the thing that saves them. Prayer is the one that brings them into the kingdom. Our prayers bring them into the kingdom. Here's something else I found out. Anything that I've tried to do in the past never helped. It never helped. It always exacerbated the problem, you know, or it enabled them to do it again, because that's what happens. You help them if you try to help them financially or if you try to help them in any kind of way in the world's way, it's going to come back around. They're going to be wanting to do it again and again and again and again. So the best thing to do is just pray for them. That's what I've learned anyway, you know. We've all got that one child or something that's always, you know, trying to mess up or whatever, you know, stumbling around. And that's what we do. We just pray for them. Go ahead, Barbara. I'm sorry.
No, it's just disheartening, you know. Just, you know, like my husband, you know, too, you know. Like, I've been telling him stuff, you know, that we, I try to always encourage him to get on the Bible studies and the conference calls, and he's just not interested. And then, you know, like, I really felt like, I guess I pushed it too much. I was just, like, trying to tell him, you know, things are about to happen, and, you know, because on one hand, I thought he did believe, you know, but I really got a slap in the face of realizing he doesn't believe any of this. And it's almost like, well, actually, he was mocking it, actually. And I felt the Lord say, you know, like I had to repent. I was like, you know, I need to just be quiet. I felt like I was pushing it. And I felt bad that it's just because my heart, I want him, you know, to be on the same page. I want him to see things, you know, I want him to come into the kingdom, and I guess he's just not there, and I need to just back away and let God do what he's doing with him, because, you know, God's doing an awful lot of work in him. The other day when he had that accident, that when he passed out, I found out that, like, the next day, he went to work, and so many people came up to him. I guess what happened, Michael, was he died. He passed out to the point they said he looked dead. He was dead. There was no pulse. There was nothing. And, of course, I knew immediately it was all in the Lord's hands. I mean, you know, because I remember telling my husband one time, I said, you can't even die unless the Lord tells you, you know, unless the Lord says so, you know, because, you know, he has the fear, you know, but it really shook him up. He didn't. I asked him, I said, well, did you go to heaven or hell? And you see heaven or hell? And he said, no. He said he didn't even know what happened. He just blacked out. But everybody was telling him that he had the look of death on his face. He had no pulse. He wasn't breathing. Just momentarily, you know, for whatever the time, the duration it was. I wasn't there. I don't know. He was just telling me what they were all saying to him. And he was really affected by it. And, you know, I just know the Lord's working in him. But right now, he's been discouraged and depressed, and I've been coming against that, you know, recognizing their demons really, really wreaking havoc on him. And all this came out in our conversation. This was earlier today. All this came out, and I'm like, I felt bad that here I am pushing him to, well, listen to the Bible study. You'll get all this information. And here he's, you know, things are going on in him, you know, and I wasn't in tune with what's going on in him. I just felt like a heel, like I just need to shut up, be quiet, and, you know, the Lord's obviously working in him, and, you know, I don't know why.
You know what, Barbara?
What?
You know what? You're right. Yeah, you ought to just step back and pray for him. But what he needs more than anything right now is, how do I overcome all of this?
I don't know how to help him.
Yes, you do. You pray for him. When you pray for him, that's the most powerful thing that you can do for him. And you get all you come on here and we pray for him, and you're going to see God do a miracle in him. And you step back and let God do it, and you get out of the picture. Because it's obvious, you know, just like it was in my family, that I couldn't help them. All I could do was pray for them. God's the only one that can help them, okay? He's the only one that's going to change them. You can't change them. You tried that. How many times have you tried it and failed? Many times, just like I have.
I want to share Jesus with him. I want to share the way with him. I want to share look, this is faith. This is what.
Okay, how much did it help?
can't believe that. He's just not there. He doesn't believe it.
That's
he
right.
He believes five senses, and he sees the Lord working in my life, but I don't know. He doesn't want to believe it for his life. I mean, I just don't. I don't know.
Here's there again. He wants to see Christ in you. And that is a willful, obedient wife that's submitted and is godly and is praying for him. That's the best thing in the world you can do for him. And not badger him with the word of God. I know you don't think it's badgering, but it is in his eyes.
Yeah.
And so what you have to do is just back off and pray for him. And if he asks you a question, be willing to share with him. But for the most part, your job right now is to be a loving, caring wife that prays for him. Boy, you talk about conviction. You can pray that conviction on him. You can pray all of that stuff that you've been trying to tell him about into his life. And you know another way you can do that is coming on here and praying for him when you see those things that are bugging him in his life, and we can pray against it and watch God do his work. There's almost I'm sure everybody in here has somebody in the same category that you've got and I've got, and you know, and that's what we do. We just pray. That's the praying part is more powerful. That is our weapon to defeat the enemy, is our prayers. And I cannot emphasize that enough. Our job as a Christian and a disciple of Christ is to pray. You read through the Gospels and see what Jesus did most of the time. He was praying. He was praying. And
yeah,
if we do that, you're going to see miracle after miracle after miracle. But you have to have patience. And you have to endure in your faith to believe it. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. No, it's not going to be easy. It'll get easier as time goes on. And you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit rather than trying to tell the Holy Spirit what to do. You know, we all have done that. You know, Holy Spirit, you ought to do this. You know, you ought to do it this way. No, he knows all.
I don't do that. I said, that sounds horrible. I hope I don't do that.
You don't do that?
But I repent, Lord, if I do. Father, forgive me.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But anyway, that's the way God wants us to do it. You do that, I guarantee you're going to see some quick results. Because just as soon, if something happens here very soon, he's going to have the fear of God all over him. As everybody that we're praying for out here too, that fear of God is powerful stuff. It's when you don't have a fear of God that it's hard to talk to anybody. But when the fear of God is there, then you can talk and give them the message that God's given you to give them, and they'll listen and they'll understand, because God's in it, not you or not me, either one. So let's just pray for him, okay? You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for Bruce. And I thank you for the work that you're doing in him, Lord. Although, Lord, it doesn't seem like to Barbara that you're going about it quick enough. But, Lord, we know that you work a deeper spiritual way in Bruce's life than we can even see with our eyes, Lord. And we know that you're working in his heart. We don't know what he's thinking. We don't know what's in his heart right now, Lord. But you do, and you're the one that's doing it. And we're believing you from this point on. We're going to believe you that you're going to turn that man around, and he's going to be running after you one of these days, boy, just like the Shulamite bride. And he can't get enough of you, Father. And we thank you that you're placing that in his heart. We thank you, Lord, that you're placing a hunger for the word of God in his heart. But most of all, Father, we ask that you put the fear of God in him. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to do that. And I ask, Lord, that you work in Barbara to be that meek and humble wife, and to help Bruce in every way that she can. And if Bruce asks a question about the Word of God, Lord, give her the wisdom to speak only the things that you want her to speak, Father. And I thank you that she's going to see a mighty turnaround here in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for her heart. She wants her husband to be a disciple of Christ. And she's going to see it because she's going to back off and she's going to obey you, Lord. And you're going to be the one that's directing things from now on in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I know everybody in here believes with us, don't you?
I also want to say one thing. He's getting ready to put himself back in the hospital because he wants to keep his license. And I guess he's believing because he went to the doctors today. So he's going to put himself back in the hospital, I think tomorrow or over the weekend or something. And they said that they can clear him so they won't take his license. So I don't, you know, I.
Well, God can work through that, can't he? God's that big a God. He can work through that.
I told him, I said, well, because usually, he's gone to a hospital so many times, I know how they work, but they usually don't run any tests over the weekend, and I suggest him, why don't he wait till Monday, you know, since if you go tomorrow, which is Friday, they won't run any tests anyway till Monday, but, you know, I'm leaving it up to him. I just suggested it, and, I don't know.
Okay, well, we've prayed the prayer of faith, and we're going to believe from now on, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, I pray they don't take his license away. That's how I prayed initially anyway, so.
Okay.
But he's believing, you know, he's feeling threatened, I guess. Well,
that's where he is right now, so we just have to back off and let him go ahead and fulfill what he thinks he has to fulfill. And just treat him like he's doing what he needs to do, okay?
Yeah, I said, whatever you think is best, whatever you think, you know.
So yeah. Well, all right. All right. We're going to believe with you, girl.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, guys.
Okay. God bless you. All right. Anybody else?
Hello?
Yeah, Megan, go ahead.
I'm still struggling with fear. I think it's generational. So my mom also has struggled with it. So I prayed and asked Lord to repent. I repent for fear, but it's still fear.
Okay. Well, let's pray. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, Father, we thank you for Megan's heart. She wants to be free of this thing, and we know that you can do it, Lord, and you're going to do it because your word says so, and your word, you stand behind your word, Lord. You stand behind it. You say, we're not under the curse. Megan is a child of yours. She's not under the curse. And you've given us the authority over the enemy. So in the name of Jesus, right now, we come against that spirit of fear on Megan. You go from her right now in Jesus' name. We break all generational curses that have been passed down to Megan, even all the way back to Adam, in Jesus' name, we command them to go from her in the name of Jesus right now. We bind up all your works and command you to leave her right now in Jesus' name. And we command you to cease your activity against her from this point on in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you go right now in Jesus' name. And I command it by the authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Fear, go now in Jesus' name. Confusion, go in the name of Jesus. Spirit of rejection, go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Megan is free. She has been delivered because your word says it. And we thank you for it. Lord, you said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. That's the enemy. She don't want it. It's got to go. And I command it in the name of Jesus to go from her. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to put a hedge of protection around her. And you're going to give her great and bold faith to believe that she has been freed and delivered of these awful, oppressive spirits in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that they're not anymore going to mess with her in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we know, it sometimes happens because you do. You like to test their faith. And you like to, for us to stand in faith, Lord, that sometimes you allow that spirit to go out there and do a wheelie and come on back and test the grounds to see if he can get back in. And we thank you, Lord, that you're placing it in Megan right now to rebuke that enemy, any kind of a foothold in her life again. And Father, if that spirit comes back, she can say, nope, I've been delivered of that. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me. You don't have any grounds here anymore. I am a child of God, and I'm not under the curse, so you get gone, you spirit. And that's, Lord, we thank you that she placed that in her to fight that enemy. And I praise you, Father, that Megan is free in Jesus' name. Megan, you believe that?
Yes.
I do too. Everybody else believe that?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. I feel better, Megan, myself. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else get a word?
Hello?
Yeah, is this Charity?
Yes.
Hi, Charity.
Hi. I got Ezekiel 45:7-9. Says, the prince shall have land on either side of the holy allotment and the property of the city, adjacent to the holy allotment and the property of the city, on the west side toward the west and on the east side toward the east, and in length comparable to one of the portions from the west border to the east border. This shall be his land for possession in Israel, so my princes shall no longer oppress my people, but they shall give the rest of the land to the house of Israel according to their tribes. Thus says the Lord God, enough, you princes of Israel, put away violence and destruction and practice justice and righteousness. Stop your expropriations from my people, declares the Lord God.
Give me that reference again, please.
Ezekiel 45:7-9.
Okay. 7-9. All right. Well, what'd you get out of there?
Well, there's a lot there. Just that the Lord is looking out for his people and he will return that which belongs to them, that their portion. That our portion, he will take back that which has been stolen from us.
Amen. Yeah, that's it. He's going to take care of us too, isn't he?
That's right.
Amen. All right. That's a good one. Okay, anybody else? Well, all right, y'all. Anybody come up with a good question for Tuesday night? Looks like the Lord has answered. What do y'all think he's telling us tonight? Let's just go over that. We got a few minutes left. What do y'all think the Lord is telling us mostly about how to prepare for this coming, it looks like this coming weekend, this shaking? What do y'all think he's telling us? What if everybody comes together with their interpretation of what God's saying, we're going to come up with a good grand plan here. What do you think he's saying, Andrew?
I think he's telling us that he's an almighty God, that he's going to protect us. He's going to keep us through this. This is a part
of a test, as well as taking confidence in a creator that created a whole universe. Just sometimes look around you to see what he has accomplished for your lifetime. And to look at the creation, the stars of the heavens, and say, is anything too difficult for my God? And to believe, you know, that your belief is past tense. It's already done, is what he's telling you. And it's been done at the cross 2,000 years ago. And believed, and belief, of course. Believed, because it's done, and you have to believe that it's already done. We just have to understand that some of us who are maybe a little shyer and timider and older, that you have an almighty Father. You know, like, you remember when you were a child and you would hold your father's hand, it would be way up there, you know. Dad can touch the ceiling. Look, you know. And you'd hold your hand way up there and you'd go for a walk, you know. It's hard to picture that now because you're a full-grown person, but you're in the hand of the Almighty. And that's what I think he's trying to say to us, that you can't lose confidence in that. That's kind of an embarrassment to him if you are. And you just got to keep focused on this. But that's my input anyway.
Amen. That's good. Yes, Lord. Anybody else would like to venture a portion of the pie here?
Yeah, Michael. As I heard the verses being read, I think one thing he's saying is don't look to the, along with what we just heard, don't look to the things of the world. You know, look to him and hear his voice as we each day be obedient to what he tells us.
Amen. That's so true. He's been giving us that all along. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? Don't you just believe that God wants every one of his people to just love him and to love the brethren? And if you love him, what do you say love to him is? It's obeying the scriptures, obeying the commandments of God. That's his love. And he, man, When we have faith to believe for things, and he just loves that, because that faith incorporates trust too. We know that God's going to do it. We may not know when he's going to do it, but we know it's going to get done because God hears our prayers. And all we have to do, and this is what he wants. He wants us to believe him beyond and above what our eyes and our ears are listening to and seeing in the world. Just like Barbara was talking about, you know, it looks like that God's not working in his life. Well, we got to step back and make sure that we're allowing God to work. And anytime we put our 2 cents worth in on anybody that we've been praying for, it makes no difference whether it's a wife or husband, a brother, a sister, or somebody that you just met, you know, you pray and you believe. And you don't try to help God out. Now, if the Lord tells you to do something or say something, that's one thing. But if he hadn't told you to do or say anything, just kind of keep quiet. And, you know, we always think we can help God do his job for him. You really can't. You can't do that. I can't do that. It's been a long, hard row, Barbara. Don't get me wrong. It's been a long, hard row to learn to just pray and believe God and not worry about what you see and what they tell you is going on and all this stuff make any difference. We've prayed the prayer of faith and we believe. We step back and we allow God to do it, and you'll see a miracle. And I believe that with my family, and I know Barbara's believing that for hers, and everybody in here is believing it for somebody. And so that's what we do. That's our job. And that's what God is telling us tonight, you know. Trust Him, love Him, and do what He says, and we'll be fine during this time ahead. That's all we have to do is just trust the Lord and endure in our faith to the end, is what He told us. If we'll do that, man, we'll be in fine shape. It's just that sometimes we just have to get ourselves out of the picture. And I know what it is to agonize over the things that we see. And that's why I've always had to, since I've been here, I've had the Lord teach me how to just step back and pray and believe. Didn't make any difference what's going on. You know, that's what when Blake was in prison, you know, I hated to see him go to prison and have to go through all that. But I knew it was for a cause. I knew God was working in him. And I didn't do anything. I didn't hound him. I didn't do anything, you know, other than send him books when he wanted me to send him books, you know. And I did that, and I believe for him. He's out, and he's doing pretty good right now. Praise God, you know. But I'm still believing. I'm believing God's going to make a preacher out of him if he hadn't already. And that's what we do. I've been believing for him ever since he was a little boy. And the Lord showed me he's going to make a preacher out of it. If the Lord shows you something, it's going to happen if you believe. So that's what God wants out of us. He wants faith and trust and love out of us. And being a disciple of Christ, He wants us to walk in the steps of Christ. And that's just exactly what God did. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees came against Jesus, He didn't open His mouth. He just shut up and let them do what they had to do. The only time He ever opened up His mouth is when the king asked Him, you know, a couple of questions. And He answered him. Well, okay, we're running out of time here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to add before we close out here? Well, Father, I just thank You for these wonderful, wonderful words that You've given us, Lord, and showing us what it is that You want us to how to prepare for this time ahead, Lord. And it looks like You want us to get rid of the flesh, get rid of any kind of idols in our life, and to just trust You, Lord. And that's looks like what the thing is that You're giving us is getting rid of the flesh, the world, and start trusting You implicitly. And Lord, we thank You that You're even going to help us do that. You're going to give us a spirit to lead us and guide us all the way, Lord. And I praise You, Father, that You're going to do that. I am so looking forward to this time ahead because I know the anointing that breaks the yoke is going to fall most any time. And we'll all, oh, glory to God, we all are going to have that great anointing to overcome all of the things that have beset our walk with You, Lord. And I thank You for it, Lord. I just wish it happened yesterday, Lord. We all are longing for this glory to come down upon us, Lord, and to help us to overcome these worldly things that have come up in our lives, to help us get rid of the flesh of our life, Lord, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And Lord, we thank You for helping us do all of that, Lord. And the pride of life, get rid of it too, Lord. I don't know why we have to think that we're prideful. We got pride for anything because everything comes from You, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for bringing down this corrupt government. And I thank You, Lord, for the revival that's fixing to start. And I thank You, Lord, for putting a government up there that will at least give us some peace in the next three and a half years, Lord. And I praise You that You're going to do that for Your saints. And I thank You, Lord, for instilling in each one of us the gift of prayer And I praise you, Father, that we're going to be doing more and more of that every day and crying out to you for the things that we know has to be prayed for, interceding for each other in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep tonight. Excuse me. And Lord, we just thank you for your protection too in Jesus' name. All right. Well, good night, saints. It's been a wonderful evening for me. I've been blessed all night long with all of these good words. Does anybody have a question that they'd like to ask the Lord for Tuesday night? Well, okay. I'll ask the Lord and I'll send something out here in the next day or so. How's that? That work? Well, all right. Good night, saints. God bless you and we love you.